Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Sports Community Radio here with Steve Pallas and Jonah Vallo, where we bring you the best in the world of grassroots sport. And we have got a great show today. We have got a fantastic announcement for all of you listeners who've been listening to us over the course of the last year. And it's all around the release of our online training. Steve, how are you, mate?
Joe, I'm really excited and I'm really proud that after literally months of work, working on learning about the best way to present online training and then learning about the systems and pulling together all the information that we, and more specifically yourself, has developed two tremendous resources, one being how to use Facebook and one to be how to use email newsletter. But rather than me talk about what it is, take us through the two training sessions that you've developed online that can be purchased for $19.95, marked down from $49 as an opening special, marked down from $50, Joe. So take us through both of those sessions and how you've created them and who they're for.
Well, going back to the start, the whole principle behind it was a sports community. We want to empower club volunteers, and one of the ways to do that, of course, is to do it face to face. But that's not always the best way, because a lot of the people that utilise our services or our information are from remote communities, or they can't make their way to classrooms. So we came up. As an organisation, we came up with the idea of developing some online training, which clubs can avail themselves of, which means that they can sit down at their computer, at home, wherever they might be, and they can go through the training and get the knowledge required to help them meet their club's objectives. And that's really the key point that we've stayed true to throughout the development of the training, is that it must help clubs meet their objectives. Now, when we talk about meeting objectives, most clubs have a common set of objectives, which are around increasing membership, increasing revenue from fundraising,
participation,
increasing sponsors, those kind of general goals that most clubs have when they sit down and they work out their 3-year, 5-year, 1-year plans. So what we're aiming to do is we're aiming to tailor the online training to make sure that if you do go through the training and spend the time to go through it, that the training will help you achieve one or all of those particular goals. And we can't cover all the goals because we don't know all the goals that clubs have, but the general ones, hopefully we will cover them. And basically, the first two training sessions are around Facebook. So a lot of the time when we go out and we do some training in classrooms, we mention how to use Facebook, and everybody is startled at the power that Facebook has to impact us in our club lives in terms of communication, but not only communication, but as well as call to action. So Facebook has a really strong ability to influence the behaviour of the people that go onto Facebook. And as a club, we can utilise that ability, through getting Facebook to do the heavy lifting of promoting an event, raising funds, purchasing tickets, doing those kind of things. When we talk about it in class, it's unfortunate because we don't often have the time to walk people through how to do those things step by step. So what this online training does is step by step, it will walk you through the very basic to the more advanced. So the very basic is to firstly set up your Facebook account, to the very advanced where you may use Facebook advertising, for example, to promote an event. The second course that we've developed is around the email newsletter. Now, the Humble email newsletter is quite possibly the most potent and powerful communication and call to action weapon that a club has in its arsenal. And more to the point is it's free. So a lot of clubs out there, when we speak to them in our courses about the power of the email newsletter, they are absolutely, they're mind-boggled at what newsletters can do. For example, a newsletter can tell you who in your club community by name is clicking on a link. And that is a very powerful thing, because all of a sudden you know who is interested in a job that you might have posted, or who is interested in a sponsor that you've put on your newsletter. So a lot of clubs are not using the newsletter to do the heavy lifting around communication and call to actions, and that's what the second course is all about. We walk you through how to set up an email newsletter. We look at the tools that are available in the marketplace to do that. We use MailChimp at Sports Community, and we use MailChimp in the online course, where we will show you how to build a basic newsletter. We'll show you how to build an advanced newsletter, how to include all different types of content, text, photos, audio, video, how to utilize links, how to put call to actions into your newsletters to make sure that you're achieving your club objectives. So it's very, very exciting. And we hope that a lot of clubs out there find it useful. And of course, we hope that we get a lot of feedback as well, so we can continue to develop the product and make sure it's fitting everybody's needs out there.
Absolutely. So, and it's good that we've gone. I think it's great that the first training sessions haven't been a replication of the sessions that we do in the face-to-face presentations, but more how to do things that we talk about in there. So it's really exciting. Now, Joe, how can people have a look at these training sessions and purchase a session? For each of those sessions are very affordable at $19.95.
Absolutely.
And how do they get online? And first of all, before how they do it, what level of knowledge do you need to have to start these sessions?
So you need to have no knowledge, basically. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. But we have catered for people who have an advanced level of knowledge, and also people who have little or no computer skills. So don't be afraid to get involved and purchase the course, even if your computer skills are a little bit on the scratchy side. The way that you purchase the course, quite simple. Just visit our website, www.sportscommunity.com.au. There's a section there on training, and you just click on that and you can have a look at the courses that are available. Select one that you would like to undertake. You'll be asked to set up a training account so you can make payment and keep tabs on where you are up to in the course. And it's as pretty much as simple as that. As Steve mentioned, the price of the course is $49.95. We have an introductory special that is available to all the clubs at $19.95. So, yeah, we're really, really excited about it. And look, whilst we've attempted through the many courses that we've delivered in face-to-face forums to cover as much as we can that we think is going to help clubs reach their objectives. When club people do go through the courses, there is a high possibility that they'll find areas that we can also add information to, which is part of the reason for the discount. It's an introductory price. And also, we encourage you to, if you do purchase the course and you do find that you're struggling with a concept or a particular part of the course, we'll also have a call center set up, which you can access just by an email address, clubsupport@sportscommunity.com.au, and then we'll walk you through or endeavour to explain the concepts that you may be stuck on or you need further information on over the phone or through email. So if you purchase the course, what we want you to understand is that we'll be there to support you the whole way. And the whole object of purchasing the course is to make sure that you're armed with the knowledge to be the best volunteer that you can possibly be at your club and help it meet its objectives. Mm.
Yeah, and it's interesting. One of the things, what we were hoping to come out before the training sessions came out, Joe, but it didn't work that way because it was a little bit more complex and time-consuming than we thought, was our first book in Sports Community. It's Achieving Your Goals Through Social Media and Communication. And that book is imminent now. It's just gone through the final proofread, the 8,000 changes that the proofreader, Pam, our proofreader, has suggested now needs to go back to the graphic guys to put into the final cut. But so a couple of weeks away at worst for that book, which really is fantastic because it'll take people through the theory about how they can use communication and how they can use both traditional and social media to really help them achieve their club goals. And it's pulling together that book, it's really, really, really empowering for clubs, particularly in an area that is not an area of strength, which is how to build relationships to achieve the goals. And so in the short term, it's our plan to also have complementing the book. We've got the Facebook and the email newsletter training sessions. And each the Facebook one's about just over an hour,
yep.
And 15. And the email newsletter one's a little bit more complex because there's a lot more functionality and opportunities that you can use within the email newsletter. And that goes for...
probably an hour and a half to 2 hours.
2 hours. Yeah. So it's, and which you've broken up into a series of modules, so you can take your time through it, fast forward, rewind, and go from there. But complementing the Facebook and email newsletter sessions will also then be Twitter and YouTube, which I'm really, really looking forward to because I think that will then give club volunteers that are responsible for or involved in the communication really strong tools, even if they've never used or seen these tools before, which is really, really good. So that's where we're up to with that side of the training. But what I am also very keen on, Joe, is towards the end of this year that we'll start to record and put on our traditional training sessions online as well, so that the people that are unable to attend training sessions for whatever reason still get access to that information. And that's really exciting from our perspective to be able to share that information online will be really, 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 really cool. So I think what we'll find over the next 6 months at least, and probably forever now, because it's really part of what we do. Everything we develop will be thinking about how we do it in the classroom, or in a presentation, on the website, and now through online training and also books. In the audio and visual book space. So that's really exciting for us. And Joe, I'd just like to publicly state you should be very proud of the training sessions that you've put together, because they're of the highest quality and put together in a way that can take comfortably and respectfully take someone with absolutely no knowledge of the topic through the various stages of introduction to really being comfortable, to quite quickly moving into some advanced techniques and methods that the more experienced of us use in using those different applications. So all credit to you, mate. I think it's fantastic.
Well, it's a team effort, but I think the main thing is that we've also got the processes in place as well, that if you do strike trouble or if you do need further explanation, then there's a process in place that will enable that, and that's basically just emailing us through our support function, and we'll be able to talk you through the concepts as I mentioned before, or point you in the right direction. So it's not just the fact that we do have a course on there that's you purchase and off you go and you do the course, which you often do find when you do purchase these kind of things from the internet. It's basically you purchase it and that's the end of the transaction. With us, we can assure you that the purchasing is really just the first step, and you know, then you take the time and you put the investment in to go through the course, and then we'll support you. You know, that's not just the end of the transaction there. You can email us if you need any further explanation, and we're there to support you, because we appreciate the value not only of your time and investment that you're putting into the course, but we don't take it lightly either, that it does cost money. And unfortunately, the money aspect of it comes about because we are a business at the end of the day, and it has taken us a long time to develop these products. And You know, we need to be able to fund that somehow. But we feel after having a look around at the marketplace and really dissecting what we've been able to offer, that the prices are on the value side of things. And I'm sure you'll find that when you go through the courses.
Yeah, so I couldn't agree more, and certainly couldn't agree more with the sentiment that we're not overly interested in the sales, but more so people achieving their objectives and using and learning the tools to do that. So, Joe, congratulations! It's a proud day for sports community to move into the online training, and let's get on with the rest of the show because it's a bumper show today.
You're listening to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Steve Pellis and Joe Novella, another Sports Community digital production, courtesy of www.sportscommunity.com.au. Okay, we've got a really special treat for you all today. As many of you know, we've got a special affinity with the Northern Territory. Steve and I have been up there on quite a few occasions to do some training. And we've developed a great relationship with the Northern Territory government through the agency of Benita Bittner, who is the manager of Sport and Rec in Central Australia. And during our trips, we've been able to get out and about in the field and chat to a few of the local clubs and associations around Alice Springs and Darwin. And we've been able to capture those in interview format. And we're going to play them for you now, or a selection of them over the following week. So we hope you enjoy them, and hopefully you'll pick up a few tips on what to do and maybe what not to do as well. So please enjoy.
I'm joined today by the AFL-NT Regional Manager for Central Australia, Andy Hood. Andy, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be here.
Thank you very much for having us. Now, you've just won an amazing award nationwide, the Good Sports, National Good Sports Award for Leadership. Yep. Tell us the story about leading up to
that. Yeah, it is a story. It's probably a bit like a journey, really, because I've been in this role as a regional manager for about 3 years. One of the areas I wanted to do was work with the Indigenous communities a lot more. And we had some work to do about our league, our profile, and I was really keen to get families back to footy. I think that's the way forward, and the great game of AFL footy should be enjoyed by families.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the Good Sports model came along, and we had a Good Sports coordinator in Darwin that came down, and I was put onto a committee that we met monthly, and then we achieved level one.
Andy, just for those people that don't know what Good Sports is,
just
take us back a step.
Sure. Well, Good Sports is through the federal government, the National Drug and Alcohol Foundation. And Good Sports is really, it's based around enjoying sport without having to rely on alcohol. And over the journey, I think many clubs can probably have a story or two about some probably situations and that probably haven't gone the way that they wanted to through drinking culture in their club. I remember playing footy back in Adelaide, and if you were best player on that day, you were given a mug and drank, and everyone had to fill it up and tap on the shoulder. So that was great, that worked well, but as we move forward, I think there needs to be, and the Alcohol and Drug Foundation wanted to sort of stop that culture, not stop it, but probably offer alternatives. And so we were introduced to the Good Sports Foundation and Level One, and we're a little bit different because we're a league, so we're not necessarily a club, but we have our responsibilities, I believe, to educate the clubs about enjoying football, but also educating the people that come and enjoy our game. I'm a big believer that you've got to create a good experience, and in life, when we go and do things and have a good experience, you want to come back and do it again. So the Good Sports Level 1 gave us a great start to that, and just recently, we, through the Good Sports Foundation, we have been able to win an award through the NT, and then now we've just won a national award, which we're really proud of, and that's for leadership.
Yeah.
For taking on, the role of changing the culture of drinking and not relying on alcohol as a source of income, but also to have it there for people to enjoy, but we monitor it and we control it. So it's in a healthy environment so people can come to the footy and still enjoy the footy.
So before you started the program on the good sports journey, what were some of the issues that you were experiencing in the unsatisfactory outcomes you're getting?
I think it's probably before my time, but I guess the stories that I hear was that there was a mass crowd of people drinking, you know, and from the communities that would come in, and it was just something that people weren't enjoying, I guess, the environment. And it was, I guess, financially, it was something that the league relied on, but, you know, moving forward, it probably wasn't the environment that one would like. So, you know, with alcohol, we know, we see it on the news, and we see it through all areas, metropolitan, rural parts of Australia, that through alcohol, if it's not controlled, it's not consumed properly, and even delivered properly, I guess, and you don't have good policies around it, can, you know, cause you some dramas through, you know, fighting, violence and abuse to umpires and to players and I guess fellow people that wanted to sit and watch the game, and that has happened.
Yeah.
We can't, you know,
shy away from that.
And people sometimes mention that, but I'm all about moving forward, so I understand what happened, but going forward we learn from that and ensure it doesn't happen again.
Notwithstanding the social issues, we really understand the value that alcohol brings financially to leagues. So that must have been a tremendously difficult decision. And I would suggest, probably not knowing anything about the award, potentially that decision, that one decision, is the reason for the leadership component. Because
it's a very difficult decision. We haven't been able to do things in footy probably one would like, and that's representative footy and travel. There was a lot more, you know, I'll be honest, there was a lot more money coming through the door to be able to do those things. But, you know, like travel and rep footy, because footy doesn't actually cost a lot of money.
Yeah, it does.
I'm sure through your travel you'll see one of the things people will say is financially it's really difficult to run a club and in particular the league, and we're not for profit, so to make those decisions were tough, but I'm a really big believer that, you know, moving forward, and it will take some time, and if people ask me, you know, about this award and about our journey, it's like, be prepared, be patient. In the long run, if you have the vision, you stick at it, I think you'll get the rewards and you build that financial capacity in different areas. And that is, I'm you know, really proud to say that we get families coming through. We've got women's footy. We're bringing more people to footy, different people to footy. So, and I think that's important. And it's not all about the financial gains, I guess. It's more about the profile and the brand and the community enjoyment that you can get through footy and having a healthy and enjoyable experience.
Well, we'll talk about the women's football in a minute, but I really want to... So you make this decision, you're going to change the way that the role that alcohol plays in the football experience going to the game. So what were some of the real changes that you made? And I'm guessing that some of them weren't overly popular, so how did you deal with that as well?
It's a great question, because when we said we're only going to serve mid-strength and we only serve alcohol in our club, in our members' bar, through the season, you have to become a member or be invited up there. It was more about having the mid-strength, I think, is what people, you know, why can't I get a full-strength beer? And some of those, you know, I guess, people that have been coming to the footy. But they come sporadically.
Yeah.
They're not here every week.
Yeah.
So
you
take on board what they've got to say because you respect that. But, you know, there were times when I was told, you know, you get more people come to footy, you get more members come to the footy, or you get the old guys come back to footy if you had heavy beer. And I listened to that, and I'm a big believer that in my role, you need to listen to people. But the vision was that we stick to our guns and go, no, it's mid strength. We don't want to serve heavies in our members' bar and mid strength. You know, sort of on the bigger games, or the outfield games in the outer. I just thought that there was some inconsistencies there, so we said mid-strength across the board. We stuck to that, but we've got families coming back to footy.
Yeah.
So, and you know, if these guys want to come back to footy every week, then fantastic. But I really believe, Steve, if you can't come to footy because you can't get a heavy beer, then at the end of the day, I think that goes against what good sports is all about, and certainly.
what we're about to.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Boxing Day, the MCG, where you get to drink his mid-strength.
Yeah.
So what other changes did you make with regards to alcohol?
It was probably more about the mid-strength,
yes.
Only having it in one area. And we have one of the largest football carnivals in Australia here at Easter. It's very well known through Australia.
Yeah.
We have over 30 communities travelling from all over the Northern Territory and some parts of South Australia. Years gone by, we've had some teams in come from Queensland. So you can't buy alcohol during that time because we want to have an environment that the community teams and the elders are really happy to come to and not be humbugged or not be affected by the alcohol. And that goes right across Indigenous and non-Indigenous people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
But they're really happy that we've got that environment. So we obviously provide food through that carnival, but you can't buy alcohol. And that really sits well with the Easter Carnival, Indigenous Easter Carnival, and the sponsors that sponsor that carnival. So, you know, once again, it's just a really good environment for people to play footy in.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the changes that you said had come about was the involvement of women, and it's fantastic that you're not just off the field involvement, but you're really creating a pathway for on-field involvement. Take us through that, but again, start right at the start, because lots of clubs want to have women's teams and have women's involvement,
yeah,
but actually don't know where to start.
Yeah, so look, when we look at footy, when you probably look at your club or the people that you've been involved with at footy, it makes sense to get footy involved, women involved in footy.
Yeah,
because women are a really big part of football. We probably don't acknowledge that. The AFL do a great job of women's round and so many other sports. But when you think about women, they're the first person you see or talk to when you finish game of footy when you get home is wife or your girlfriend or your mum.
Yeah.
Their mum's a big part. They, you know, a lot of women involved in cleaning the Guernseys and so on. So just made sense to us to be able to, you know, to get families back. And we're lucky in Central Australia that we have a really unique town full of really historical player families,
yeah,
like the Cadets,
Grandstands,
yeah, Bowdens, Archies, yeah,
good old Bowden.
So, you know, these guys have got sisters, they've got daughters now, cousins, and, you know, Michael Long's daughter plays AFL football. So it only makes sense, and they've grown up with little brothers and stuff,
yeah,
kicking the footy. So I thought if we created an environment that women could play footy, then we would get more people back to footy, and it'd just be a really good part of our growth. And we started that 3 years ago. But you've got to have, say, an environment that people want to be part of, a safe,
yeah,
enjoyable experience. So we've been able to do that in the last 3 years. So hence that makes these girls' environment, the mums come to footy and they enjoy it. I hear all the time in the streets, you know, being in a small community, people run into me and say, you know, it's good what you're doing, you know,
yeah,
we're enjoying it, and we're coming back to footy, so women's footy is really good.
Let's be honest, we've been hearing that all around the territory. Go and talk to Andy, go and talk to Andy. What
is, well, it's, you know, I think we're passionate about football, and, you know, you got to work, if you want to make change, you've got to work hard at that, so women's footy just makes sense to do, and we've created a league now that's very competitive. We just had this year two girls come from that league to play for the under 18 Indigenous Kickstart Northern Territory team, and one actually went and captained the team, and also the other girl was best on ground for the grand final. When we talk about women's footy now, we're actually talking about pathways.
Yeah,
it's the draft now, so the Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, yeah.
So all this has happened by creating a good environment, which has all been part of the good sports and level one, you know, having, not relying on alcohol. It's all part of the, I guess, the vision and culture of what's working well today.
All great ideas, all great concepts,
yeah,
start inevitably with a dot point on a whiteboard.
Yeah.
So what did you do when you walked out of the office? I remember we're talking about being a game of women's, a team of women's football.
Yeah,
women's football.
But actually, what did you do? How did you actually do that? About that, because it's, you know, it's been really one of the best things that I've been involved with since I've been in this role has been creating that woman, or our team and our film. See, it's not just about me, it's about our team creating women's footy, and it all came the first year I was in the role. We had Easter Carnival, as we've talked about, and we just thought that we should give the women, it's part of it, it's what I was saying, that they should be involved. involved. And we said, right, let's have an exhibition game. We'll put it out there, we'll market it and promote it and see, you know, for women that come, we'll put two sides together and away we go. So we did that and the response was fantastic. And I said, look, we have to, you know, whilst the girls are really keen, we need to grow this and do something further and run a league. The 8 and 9s was the concept.
Yep.
We had a sign on day, Steve, that we had one along here in our AFL and TCO at the time. We had our sign on day, and we actually had it in our members bar, and we had people lining up at the door. So we had like 100 people all turn up. We thought we might get 20, 30. And our Michael one was just blown away. Our CEO was. Said, yeah, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
And he went back to the AFL and, you know, sort of talked about it. So we created something from just giving girls an opportunity and then us sort of maximising that opportunity so that we've got to capitalise on this now, give these guys an opportunity to play footy. And it was through the AFL Nines concept to develop the game. We didn't, you know, what the important thing for people to understand is you've got to develop it. And it's our third year and we've developed it by the AFL Nines, keeping the teams to, you know, 5 or 6 in the league, and then we've moved on to a bigger oval, and then we'll just grow it as we go along. Yeah, because that's important.
Patience.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really how it started, and this year we had 7 teams in the league, and really proud to say that we've got a community team that travels probably 3 hours to play footy, and that area is called, that community area is called Marble Bore, so they come in on Friday.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they come in Thursday night, so they can be here for Friday. They play the game, they're not going as particularly well as one would like, and but they don't care about that, it's about the participation.
Yeah.
So then they stuck at it all year, the whole fixture, and play the women's footy. So it's those, to me, that's what the reward is, of seeing those sort of community teams get involved, seeing families come back to footy, and have a good environment.
Yeah, brilliant. Another program that you've got is related to prisons.
Yeah.
And tell us about that program.
Yeah, this is a fantastic program because I'm sure right through Australia that some people have issues with getting umpires and enough umpires. I know it's a common issue that we hear, and it's a big issue that we have here in Alice Springs, so in our footy. So the prisons, for probably the last 5 years, these are the low security prisons, of course, come to the league, they'll come to the game on Saturday, we roster them on, they should come and train with the umpires, they'd be part of the team, and they field umpires, boundary umpires and goal umpires, and we mentor them, we give them the uniforms, and they do a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And, you know, right here, right now, to be honest, we didn't have them, we would really struggle to umpire all the games. So this year they actually umpired the finals, which was fantastic, with some of the greats, obviously the Premier League.
Yeah.
But also, really, we talk about the mobile ball travelling for the women's games, but another fantastic story is that one of the umpires, or the guys out of the prison actually, got out of prison, came to us and said, I need to get back home to my community, and if I umpire today, tomorrow, and I make some money, would you be happy for me to umpire? Here's my release form, and can I go for it? I said, mate, you know, we've been waiting for this. We've been waiting for one of you guys to come through the prison umpiring system and then become an umpire. So we were really pleased with that. But that's another good story. But, you know, I think it's a good story for people to think outside the square and
absolutely
be a little bit more diverse and use these opportunities. And, you know, like the prisoner umpire system is really working well for us, and hopefully it will continue on because it's a big part of what we do now.
Yeah.
And we also do it in Darwin as well, and it works really well. And they obviously they enjoy it because they're footy people too. So, but we hopefully in the future we get more coming back to umpire on a regular basis.
So it's clearly been really beneficial for your sport, but has it been beneficial for the prisoners and coming back in and being part of something?
I think so, Steve. It'd have to be because, you know, basically they give them something to look forward to, get some fit, get some focus, and hopefully through football and sport, you know, they can go on once they're out back into the community to, you know, continue that on. And we've got probably a bit of work there to do, but I think the fact is that it's giving them a focus and giving them an environment that is enjoyable, which I think is important.
Absolutely. Mm. Well, we've travelled all around the Northern Territory.
places in between. And everyone has told us to come and talk to Andy Hood at AFL in Alice Springs, and now I absolutely understand why. And I thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for your time.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Jonah Vella and Steve Pallas. If you've missed a couple of our episodes, why not visit our website at www.sportscommunity.com.au, and there you'll find all our previous podcasts that you can download. And while you're there, give us a review so you can help spread the news about Sports Community and its services to the grassroots sports clubs. Yes, we do have a fantastic show lined up for you today. Before we rip right into it, I just want to have a chat quickly, Steve, about the different kinds of segments that we've got out there participation wise that you know clubs may or may not be taking advantage of when they're looking for new members or recruits or sponsors. And what the one that we'd like to talk about first off is mothers groups, because it's one that not many clubs think about.
Yeah, Joe, it's a new theme of ours for the next couple of weeks is really breaking down. Like one of the challenges we see from clubs, one of the requests we see from clubs is we need more participants, whether they be players, volunteers, coaches, officials, referees. And I say, what type? What type of people are you looking for? And often we're met with a blank face. And so that really means that it doesn't really help us in the recruiting strategy, because in a recruiting strategy, we need to know who we're targeting and why we're targeting them. Because for each different group, it's a different strategy, it's a different skill set required within the club to target. And I mean the word target in the nicest possible way. So we need to look at different groups within our communities. And as you say, the first group that I wanted to talk about, Joe, is the mothers groups, because, you know, for those that have been listening to the show may know that I've got two daughters under the age of 2.5. And so my wife has just been involved, or that's not the right word, with mothers groups pretty much for the last 2 years. And so I've been able to sit and watch how they work and how they operate. And I've come to realise, Joe, that mothers groups are, as you say, one of the most groups of the community that are just looking for a place to belong. And clubs have a unique ability to provide that in return, get a whole new range of members, being the mothers, whether it be on or off the in or out of the sport. And also the one thing when you're looking at it is that the babies themselves get introduced to the sport. So if a club was to embrace mothers groups, and I'll give a couple of examples in a minute, then effectively you actually get access to the children before any other sport.
Yeah, that really hit home to me when, I'm sure you'll get onto this example, when you spoke to me about the bowls clubs.
Yeah, and this is where the concept came from, bowls clubs, because bowls, you know, rightly or wrongly, and we would probably suggest quite strongly wrongly, wait to people are 50 or so before they even approach them to, as a generalisation, even approach them to get involved in their sport. So effectively, bowls is the last sport asking or approaching an individual saying, hey, come and join us. And as we're doing this bowls training around the country, Joe, one of the things that when you're the worst house on the street, you have the ability to look at what every other house has got, pick the best things out of it, knock your house down and build the best house on the street. You can go from the worst to the best. And so that's part of what we wanted to do with bowls, is go, rightio, bowls is the last sport thought about by people. How do we make it be the first sport? You know, and Aussie rules and cricket and netball and basketball got their very fantastically strong introductory programs. But how do we get bowls to be the first sport? And you know what, Joe? Bowls is one of the rare... Bowls shouldn't be an old person's sport. Bowls should be a young person's sport, not Absolutely. An old person's sport. Why do I say that? Because to be a bowler, you don't need to be able to catch. You don't need to be able to shoot a ball through a hoop. You don't need to be able to kick left or right foot. You don't need to be able to hand pass. You don't need to be able to hit a ball with the head. All you need to do is pick up a round ball or bowl and underarm it. It's, in simple form, it's the most basic, probably second to walking and running, of sporting complexities there is. So really, bowls, when you look at it, take a step back from a sports development perspective, bowls should be one of the first sports undertaken by.
And we do understand that there is obviously a lot of, that example simplifies it, and there's backhand and forehand and all those techniques. But I guess we're just illustrating the point that it's a very, very accessible sport for people of any age, not necessarily at the right side of the spectrum, from the left side of the spectrum as well.
Well, and I was watching my little 2-year-old and 1-year-old, she was one the other day, Joe, it was a big day in our family, just rolling a ball back and forth to each other. You know, our little 1-year-old can't walk, but she was rolling a ball back to her bigger sister.
Yes.
You know, so what does that mean for bowls, but many other sports? What they can be doing, because mothers' groups, the other thing we learned about mothers' groups, Joe, was that council give them a place to meet, new mothers' groups, for the first 2 or 3 meetings, and then they're on their own, right? So then the mothers' group is then heading to McDonald's and play centres and coffee shops and all these sorts of facilities that are not really ideally conducive for kids. But if you look at our sports clubs, if we keep going with the bowls example, big pavilions, big areas, most have got televisions, most can cater for mothers' groups, particularly very, very easily, if there was that desire to open that services to them. And so all of a sudden, mothers who are looking for ways to get back involved in sport and exercise and get their pre-pregnancy body back now have a venue. And that doesn't mean to say that the club has to look after the kids, because the mothers will do that. They will do that. It's just that the club needs to open their doors and make themselves available. And how would you do that? It is as easy as going to your local council, if you're a club, and saying, we have a great facility that we'd like to see used by mothers. Can you help us? And we've spoken to a couple of councils as we were building the bowls training sessions, Joe. We spoke to a couple of councils about this, and they nearly fell over themselves saying, oh, absolutely, we would help clubs do that, because we just don't have the resources to look after the mothers' groups. All right. So over the next couple of weeks, Joe, we're going to tackle different community groups that people may not have thought about as accessing for members and supporters, and potentially looking at these community groups from the perspective that they would use the club when the club's not actually utilised.
Yeah, and just closing on that, I mean, it was a real eye-opener for me when you mentioned it, because all sorts of opportunities and ways that mothers can be included popped up in my head, and the benefits for the club, it really, really is powerful. And not only is it a way of getting more participants, but often the mums are having a year off from jobs where their skill levels are incredibly high, or their physical capacity is incredibly high. So not only do you gain new members, but you might also gain some extraordinarily skilled individuals that can add to the capacity of your club. So it's a win-win from all angles, and a very interesting topic of discussion. And I look forward to more of these in the ensuing weeks, because as clubs, this is what we want to know. We want to know how to build our participation, whether it be through participation through players, volunteers, members, however it is. So, it's good stuff, mate, and look forward to some more.
And it might not just be participation. It could just be money as well, because I've got to tell you, Joe, having watched my wife and her mother's groups for the last 2.5 years, and I trust she won't be here listening to the show, they spend a lot of money on coffees and cakes and stuff like that. So you can make a tidy little profit out of the mothers if you just give them a coffee machine and a you know, nice morning and afternoon tea. But we better leave that right there, Joe.
Okay, stay tuned. More great content to come. Okay, we've come to that time where we must say goodbye. But you can get much more of Sports Community at our website at www.sportscommunity.com.au, where you can download previous podcasts, check out latest news in the world of grassroots sports, discover great resources for your club, including grants, take part in our great online training, and much, much more. So until next time, on behalf of me, Joe Novella,
and me, Steve Pallas, thank you for making us part of your sports community.